Good going.
Okay, hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. After we rise for the flag salute, we're going to have a moment of silence for the members of the military, the first responders, and our frontline workers. So would everybody please rise?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First order of business is the minutes of the special and special. Oh. Roll.
Present.
Mr. McKee.
Here.
Mayor Coler.
Here.
Mr. Wunder.
Here.
Mr. Abadowski.
Here.
And Mr. Delvia.
Okay. First up are the presentation of the minutes of the special and special executive session of April 19th, 2023. Any committee discussion on either? We can approve them together, or we can do them separately, whatever you want to do if there are changes.
I have no changes.
Yeah. Any discussion?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Good, Abe?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of April 19th, 2023?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting and special executive session minutes of April 19th, 2023.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes of the special executive session of April 19th, 2023?
I added them both together.
You did it.
Well, we did. I did it separately.
No, but he did it both.
Oh, you did them both. Okay. Well, then, roll call.
We did it.
You did it? You're done. Yeah. We do it. All right. We did it.
Make a motion to open a public comment.
Limited to agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Is there going to be a presentation for the budget?
Yes.
So my questions, are you going to have questioning after?
Yeah, I'm going to say hold the questions on the budget until we have the public hearing. What we're going to do is have the CFO go through the budget, the amendments. Mike and the CFO will do that. And then after everybody understands what's going on, then the questions will come. Okay. Before we adopt it.
So I'll just go down the list of the next thing would be unfinished business, the memorial policy. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know what meeting it was, a few meetings ago, you spoke about it, you went back and forth, mm-hmm. and there were subcommittees, and you met with different ones and came up with a consolidated policy, mm-hmm. basically, and just for the people here who are not sure, you can elaborate. But basically, it has to do with donations, whether it's a park seat, a bench, or something along those. But we're at the point now in this town where a lot of things have changed in the last 9 months, to where you got to have a policy or procedure, whatever you want to call it, guidelines, something. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get out of control, and it can be managed. And then what do you do when things break down and they get replaced? And that was part of your discussions and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm for going there and doing a policy or having some kind of guidelines or something like that. And the alternative is not to have any donations, and then you don't need a policy. That's up to, you know. That's part of that. Mm-hmm. So I do feel you should have something as we move into 2024, 5, 6, 7, and get caught up with some of these items that are coming to us here. New business. This is repeal ordinance 2019-06, creating the Office of Administrator. All I can tell you, I wasn't at the school when you had a whole bunch of people showing up and what was going on there, but we don't need it. It's about time we get rid of this off the books. There's alternatives to take handle the responsibilities at a lesser cost, using the in-house helpers, you know, employees that we have. And they should be compensated if some of those duties are transferred over to other personnel in the building. That's not unreasonable. So, you know, if I go do a job and I do something more than outside my purview, I'm going to get paid for it. It's an extra. So that's, and it's going to save the taxpayers money because then you don't have to have a BA. And part in the budget is that, you know, one of the questions in the budget I'll go into is the salary of the BA, and I believe it's not there anymore. I have to get clarification on that. So I'm hoping we can move forward with this so we don't have to go back to the school. Mm-hmm. And I'll keep that going. If any of the members, any of the committee members have a different opinion, feel free to voice that so we know and the voters know. And on executive season sessions, you have personnel. There's rumors floating around. I don't know if they're true or not true, but if any of the personnel is going to retire, I hope you have a succession plan so we don't, the services that we have in this town don't suffer. Whether it's a part-time person or a transition, whatever the case is, but I know there's some towns because of, somebody else picks up the slack. But in this town, the size we have, we don't have a lot of people. We don't want to grow government. We don't want to add to the tax, you know, our tax liabilities. So I would hope that's thought out and we don't go down the road if somebody, you don't replace somebody for 3 months. Because it's not right whoever's going to pick their duties up. And it could be overwhelming. Unless it's a ploy to break the camel's back there and get other people pushed out. I don't know. So hopefully address that and we can be proactive as employees retire, which they're going to, and stay on top of it and not wait 3 months later, 2 months later, and we don't have interruption services to the public. I'll leave. I'm good right now for agenda items.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Rich White, Anthony Broad. I'm going to speak to the same thing about this ordinance with the business administrator. I really, for the first time, took this ordinance out when I saw this on the agenda and looked at it. And it's a good ordinance if you want to have a CEO for Lebanon Township. That's how I read this. I mean, the duties and responsibilities are really, in my experience, what you would assign to a CEO of a corporation or a major organization. And I don't think that's what we need, and I'm pretty sure that's not what we need. Happy to talk about that. But perhaps more importantly, this isn't what you're going to get. There's no way in the world for $110,000 a year in today's economy, you're going to get a person who's qualified, experienced, ready, able, and willing to devote the time and energy and has the ability to do this job in this town. No way. Impossible. So why do you have an ordinance defining a position that you cannot possibly fill within anywhere near the salary range that you're prepared to spend? Because what you're then going to do is say, well, let's do it part-time. Let's have half a CEO. How many corporations do you know that have half a CEO? How does that work out? I think we've seen how that works out. It's a terrible idea. So what you need to do is decide, what do you really need? This isn't what you need. And you're never going to get it. So why are you pretending? And you're also not going to get it by hiring consultants who are going to come in and work, you know, a day here and a day here or 3 days there, and then 2 months later they're gone. You've got new consultants and all that. If you need consultants, fine. I'm all for consultants. You hire consultants to do a specific job that they have expertise on that you don't have, that you, it's more efficient to pay them their hourly rate than it is to hire someone to do that for a limited period of time, limited purpose. That's fine. Do that. That's not this. The last thing I want to say is elections have consequences. This was on the ballot last November. Whether you want to admit it or not, it was. And the town residents could not have spoken more clearly that they don't want this. They don't want it. They didn't want it when you did it the first time. It was a complete disaster, and they don't want it now. So if you're even thinking about this, I don't know what you're thinking. There's other alternatives. You're smart people. Figure it out. The last thing is, you all do a lot of work. I know how much work you all do, really. And I commend you for that. But that's the job you signed up for. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. You can't hire your way out of that. This township is not so big that you need a professional person between you and all the other people that work here to get this done. You're not like a corporate board where you just sit back and come to meetings and occasionally, you know, participate and, you know, you read the minutes and what have you. And you pontificate about policy, and then you have a real CEO who really sets the policy, gets the work done, cracks the whip, does all that. That's what this person does in this ordinance, okay? That's not what we have here. You're a working board. You've always been a working board, and you should continue to be a working board. These people want you to be a working board. That's why they elected you. So maybe your duties are not properly allocated amongst yourselves. Maybe you got too many people doing too many different things. Maybe you need to refocus. Maybe you need to take some of the people who are, you know, otherwise employed here and boost their roles a little bit. But I'm pretty sure we can get the work that needs to be done with a good working board like yourselves and the people that we have here with maybe a little bit of consulting help here and there. What we don't need is this. We don't need it. We never needed it, and we don't want it. So we should get rid of that ordinance. There's no reason to keep that ordinance on the books. It's a fine ordinance for Woodbridge. That's where I grew up. It's a great ordinance for Woodbridge. We don't live in Woodbridge.
What he said.
Any other public comments? Agenda items only?
My name is Lisa, and I live on Dewey Lane. All I have to say is God bless Rich Webb. His sentiments, I say, speak for this township. And from what this township has been through with the past administrator, we all should have learned. So God bless Mr. Webb for his words, because they speak volumes for our township. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
All second vote. Just not on the heels, kind of on the heels of what they were saying, but not as structured. I feel like the issue that is at hand is more of a health issue. I feel like we need to give the people that work here help and not so much people ruling over them. I feel that that they need a helping hand, maybe an assistant to share amongst them, a part-time, you know, hey, can you do this filing? This stuff's piling up on my desk, you know, stuff like that. Not as much, you know, and personally, when I originally heard about this, I thought that's what we were doing, you know, not this overruling power that's going to, you know, rule with an iron fist. And I feel like that might have been where it was. And then when we started doing the interviews, it kind of seemed like there was red flags all over the place about this particular person and how you guys didn't see it coming down the pike. I don't understand. It was clear as day to a lot of us. So I don't know. My major issue is that it's again not the correct position. The position is really like we're overtasking the people to give the people services. And I know that when I come and try to get something done, people are running around here like chickens with their heads cut off. It's bad, you know, and I feel bad. And I feel like sometimes I don't want to come in and ask for services because I kind of compile what I need in one trip. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment?
Galloway, Mount Lebanon Road. I too am concerned about the need for a business administrator in this township. And I look back when my kids went to school, we had a principal. Now all of a sudden you need a vice principal. Are we going to need an assistant administrator to do the work that the administrator that you may want to hire to do? I just don't understand that we're so big in this township that we need to increase the need for someone who, basically, I don't think we've ever needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close the public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we're going to move into the budget, and there are a couple of items that we have to go through before we have the public hearing on the budget. The first is a Resolution 56A 2023, which authorizes the budget to be read by title only. Whereas New Jersey Statutes 40A-4-8, as amended by Chapter 95 PL 2015, provides that the budget may be read by title only at the time of the public hearing if a resolution is passed by not less than a majority of the full governing body, providing that at least 1 week prior to the date of the hearing, a complete copy of the budget has been made available for public inspection and shall be made available to each person upon request. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon, that it hereby does declare that the aforementioned conditions have been met, and therefore the budget shall be read by its title only. But there's going to be more to follow, so don't worry. I don't know if anybody wants to explain that any better. You okay with that? You good?
Good.
Okay. Do I have a motion to pass Resolution 56A 2023, authorizing the budget to be read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, so with that, we're going to go into the public hearing, but Greg and Mike, you're going to take over at this point and talk about the budget.
Either before you open or
well,
open
well, we can open the public hearing, but what I want is the public to know before they start commenting on everything, the whole story. So,
I would suggest to open to the public, then you can have a presentation.
Right.
Then you can discuss the amendments that the state required.
Yeah, because this is a little more complicated this year because the state got involved because we were up for a review.
And then I would suggest that, and then you can open up, take public comment.
Yeah, it's not like there's any funny business going on or anything like that. Just our turn. So can I get a motion to open the public hearing on the budget, the 2023 budget?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So with that,
backed up by our CFO, Greg Del Piel, I'll go through a few points. As was previewed, every 3 years, every municipality gets their budget reviewed by the Division of Government Local Services, DLGS. We're up this year for our third year, so 2 meetings ago we introduced the budget. It then went to the state. They had a few changes they want to make. They wanted to make, as Beth said, there's no issues with it. They're more accounting, moving things around. So it changes some of the numbers that we previewed a couple of meetings ago, but it doesn't change the tax rate, doesn't change the amount that we're spending on any given line. There are little details, a couple $1,000s here and there that that moved around in the final analysis. The two big items that you'll want to see if you're paying very close attention, last year in 2022, we received a American Rescue Plan ARP grant of $318,000. When we introduced that budget, we had recognized it in the 2002 column. They suggested, because it wasn't in the budget of March, April last year, that we put it in 2023. So when I tell you in a moment you remember last meeting, when this first came up, I told you the headline number for our budget was $7.9 million. It's now $8.2 million, just because they moved that $300,000 grant from 2022 to 2023. Distorts all the numbers because, you know, growth rates are high. I'll get into that in a minute. But it doesn't change anything, really, of how we're running the town. The other significant item that they requested, we've gone through this a couple of times, we get reimbursed by the schools for providing police into high school and the local schools. We had their payroll runs through our police payroll, so we had recognized a single payroll line for police. The state asked us to move that to a separate line so that it can be seen against the reimbursement from the schools. The payroll number is down below. So, again, when we look at our operations now, the high school and local police in the schools are below the operating line. Doesn't change anything we're doing, just moves things around. So those are the two significant, and a couple other, like I said, there's a little pension number in and out, nothing else you'd really see. So let me give you the headlines of the budget. If you were here two meetings ago, some of this will be repeated. Some of it is with the new numbers. As I just previewed, the headline for our budget for 2023, $8.2 million. That's, by math, that's now up 20.3% over 2022. When we talked about it two meetings ago, we were up 10.6%. That's really the number to think about. As I pointed out at the time, despite that 10% increase, which is now 20.3% increase, we're balancing our budget with a municipal tax increase of 1.9%, the same as we discussed a couple meetings ago. And we were able to do that because of the conservative accounting that we've done in the past couple of years. We had enough surplus and other revenues to offset the various increases. For 2023 tax rate, it's 0.3052. Again, no change with the amended budget. That's per $100 of assessed value versus the 2022 rate of 2.995. Median house price in Lebanon Township house value is $352,700. The tax rate increase is an increase of $20.46 for the median home. The average home is a little higher just because of the way math works. $382,000 is the average home. The average increase is going to be $22.17. Keep in mind that's the increase on the municipal portion of your tax bill, which is about 1/8 of your total bill. The county announced that they're keeping it flat. The schools typically go up by their 2%, so your tax bill will go higher, but the amount that we control here is $22 on average increase. I will note this is the fifth consecutive year that we've been able to keep the municipal tax increase less than 2%. You may recall, those are long-time residents, from 2012 to 2018, the tax rate increased at an average of 21% per year, going from 9 cents in 2011, more than quadrupling to 34.73 cents in 2018. We were also running up debt at that time and using aggressive accounting for deferred school tax. We're no longer, for the last 5 years, I think, we're not using deferred school tax. We've been paying down our debt. We have no new debt in this budget. So in the last 5 years, even with the controlled tax rates, we've got the township on a very firm financial footing. Just to give you the debt number, at the end of December 2022, the year that just ended, we had $625,000 of debt. By the end of this year, that will be reduced to $337,000. And again, no new debt is taken on this year. To remind you of some of the spending metrics, if you look down our budget, you'll see a line for total operations. The total operations is now been amended because we took the police school SLEO SRO numbers out of it. But the salary increase is still 4.6%. The expense increases, that's for fuel and salt and all the other kind of, and some professional services, that increased to 13.1%. That's where you really see the inflation that we have. The other thing that increased that is we've upped the buildings and maintenance for buildings and grounds this year significantly, just because we've been identifying that. The capital budget increased over $100,000, 14% from last year to $847,000. That's excluding what we spend on grants. If we get a road grant, that's outside of that number. This is just what's funded by taxpayers. That's really the summary. Revenues, just to remind you again, the percentages changed because of the amendment, but municipal property taxes are $2.8 million of that $8.2 million that we collect. Energy receipt tax, which we talk about every year, which is a transfer from the state 15 years or so ago. The state decided that they were going to tax, in our case, the electric substation down on Highway 31, and then they were going to return to us the property taxes that we were due. They've kept that flat. They, in fact, decreased it some years ago, but that stayed flat at $2.7 million. That's roughly a third of our budget that comes from that number, so we watch that very carefully. Surplus this year, we increased the amount that we used for over last year to $800,000. Local and shared services revenues, mainly from the police, but a couple of other things, $592,000. Grants, including the $750,000 from the federal road grant that we got last year and the $318,000 second half of the American Rescue Plan grant, are included. And then receipts from delinquent taxes is a benefit of $240,000 over last year. Keep in mind, we, as the municipality, bear the cost if somebody doesn't pay their school tax, their county tax. All the other taxes are borne at the municipal level. That's just the way the state government designs it since we collect it. Anything else you think we should highlight?
Perfectly fine.
Yeah, I did have some of the school numbers if you want. I don't, you know, you might, yeah, I mean, you might have to interpret some of the percentages here because you're good at this, but total North Hunter and Voorhees 2023-24 budget for Lebanon Township's piece was $6,459,304. And that, when I looked at the number, was the equalized tax rates with debt repayment and adjustments, 0.5889. I don't know if that's...
That sounds like the rate, but I don't know the difference from last
year. Yeah. Okay, so well, yeah. But at least. And then Wood Glen's budget was for us is $11,422,876 with that equalized tax rate with the debt repayment was 1.0414. So we just have to look at what that is, what year that applies to. Yep. So, yeah, year over year. The only thing we're going to go to Resolution 56B, 2020.
I just want to ask a question.
Oh, you want to have discussion before we go to the amendment?
No, you're going to
be the order.
You're going to continue the public. Okay. No, we're going to do the resolution. I'm sorry.
Okay, so. We just want to make sure that everything is out on the table before we open public comment. So, is this amendment of the introduced budget something that needs to be talked about before we open to the public, other than committee discussion?
No, we already did. Committee Schmidt covered the changes.
Okay.
Like you said, primarily it was the moving the money, the shared service agreement, moving out of salaries into its own item. There was an adjustment to the pension, basically shifting money to PERS, like probably, and then increasing that by 10,000, reducing the PFRS by about
the same
10,000, right?
What's throwing me is that first resolution that said read by title only.
No.
Don't even worry about that. It's just a technicality.
That's so that literally, if you read the budget law, if you don't pass that resolution, somebody's supposed to literally read the budget in full.
We'll be here till 1 o'clock in the morning again.
Right.
Jeez.
Anyway.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about that. And then those were the major items relative to the amendments required. Again, they were by the state.
Yeah.
And because they came from the state, I'll just explain that. Typically, if you're going to amend it, there's a whole process for amendments. And then what you would have to do is you have to advertise the amendments, and then you have to have a public hearing on the amendments, and then you adopt the amendments, and then you adopt the budget. But when the changes come from the state, you don't have to do the advertising, and you can just adopt the amendment without the advertising.
Unless it's over the 10%.
No, that's, again, if it comes from the state, which these do, and then you don't have to do it. We don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
You're talking if there's an amendment made by the governing body
right.
after the introduction, and then you do that. But because these all came from the state,
it's okay.
The process is different.
Yeah, well, this just kind of came in the last hour. That's why there's discombobulation here. So, committee discussion. Any committee discussion?
I just want to know if there's any money in this budget. You know, we staff has been through quite a bit, as everyone knows that's here, with a lot of extra work after the administrator left. Is there any money in this budget towards that? And is there any money in the budget if we're going to be hiring a part-time help this year? Where is the money going to come from?
Again, I mean, we in our budget workshop, as you recall, we went through all the requests from the departments, and so those requests are in. If personnel leaves, that frees up money in the budget to use for part-time or transition purposes. As a budget, we can move lines around as we find it during the year. For example, we can tell the DPW to postpone a project that might be in the regular part of the budget and transfer that to a salary if we needed to.
My point is, it's been about 9 months since the administrator has not been here, and I think we're behind the curve in getting this figured out, myself included. I'm here now, too, as far as money's being available to make these changes is what my question was. Thank you.
Any other committee discussion? If not, we'll open it up to the public. We have already opened the public hearing, so you can just come up and speak.
Yep.
Tamara Dunning, Voorhees Road. Hello, everyone. Similar to what Mr. Wonder was just saying, what did happen to the money that was allocated to the administrator in terms of the budget this year? I don't have a copy, so I'm sorry, I'm a little lost to that.
As I mentioned, our overall expenses went up about 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's no specific place that got allocated to. I mean, you could argue some of it went to the fact that salt prices doubled. It goes into the pot and then gets reallocated to department requests for what has to be spent this year.
We didn't have snow this year.
So it's just a
it was used. The money was used from budget. That to fill the plugs that we needed to fill at the time. So we took line item here and moved it into different line items to help those line items to bring that budget under the tax levy cap that our head was against the ceiling on it.
Okay, so basically that's all reflected somewhere in here for
it's
the salary.
It's in the budget, this year's budget.
Gotcha. Okay. And the other question was, we had a $750,000 supposedly grant that was acquired while the administrator was here. Where is that reflected in the budget, and what's the situation with that?
That is in the budget. Do you have the exact line?
Give
it's down below in grants.
It's on the line item number.
It's on page 2, and it's right after 10-702.
Yep, there it is.
It's two lines down. It's called the Community Project Funding Grant.
Under Section F, Public and Private Revenues.
And the grant was approved by the state, otherwise it wouldn't be in the budget document that's being adopted
American
tonight.
Rescue Plan?
No, further down, Community
Project Funding. Yeah, it's on there.
It's there.
Yeah.
On light item. So it's recognized in the budget, if that's your question.
And do we have to, are we obligated to use that for roads?
Well, we haven't. Yeah. This is the thing right now. The engineer, it's funny, it's so timely you're asking this. I was just on the phone with the engineer yesterday. when we received the application, I told him to make sure he goes through it and that there aren't any restrictions that we wouldn't want in our community. For example, not saying this was in there, but okay, we can pave a road, but you have to now put bike paths maybe on a road you don't want to, or street lights on a road you don't want to. So the engineer had his marching orders, because it is coming from HUD, you know, Housing and Urban Development.
Yep.
So I worried a little bit about that. So he actually got, he wrote to them, he got there was a whole description missing of what it was, so he sent it back. And I'm on him for the last couple of weeks, anything new on the grant, because I don't want to lose the grant. In the meantime, we're trying to look into the administrator's email to make sure nothing's coming through that we're missing on the grant, any deadlines. So we've got it all covered. And yesterday I gave him some numbers of the people that are running the grant. Call them. I said, call them and find out, because I don't want to have us miss an opportunity. But at the same time, we want to know what's this missing description. So hopefully all works out, and we'll have that money.
That's a valid concern.
Yeah.
Because after Sandy, a lot of the shore towns took a lot of money from the state of New Jersey, and then were forced to do a lot of things that they did not want to do.
Right.
Including a lot of things that were not beneficial to the towns and actually dangerous, in my opinion. So that is a very good observation, and I'm glad you're on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, we do have it and everything pans out and everything is fine, will it then go to roads? Is that, or do you have an option to allocate it somewhere?
Well, it was originally gotten on roads. Warren Gabriel put down the roads that, if we got this grant, which would be the first roads to be paved.
Okay, so he
so there was a list. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Wunder, I applaud you for what you just said. You're absolutely a million times right. Everyone has been put under has been put through the meat grinder with this whole situation after the administrator and picking up the pieces, and they should be compensated, and thank you for saying that. Thank you for your time.
I'll try to go by order. I think it's in the budget on page 6. Revenues and appropriations summaries. First line item is surplus.
Unfortunately, you're probably working off what was posted on the website, which is a fast form.
Yes.
Yeah, you're working on. Unfortunately, the budget that we have here comes from our auditor, which is on a different format that then gets put into your format. So we can find the numbers, but if you say page 6, we don't have the same page 6.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
All right, revenue and appropriation summaries.
Yep. Appropriation summary.
Go ahead.
Surplus 2022 550,000.
Yep.
2023 800,000.
Yep.
Is that because of grant money we got from the state?
No.
No.
You want to explain surplus?
It's up to you. I don't care. Let
the CFO earn his keep.
I earn my keep. You don't have to worry about that. Surplus is basically what's left over at the end of operations. It's for a corporation. It would be like retained earnings. It's the net. So at the end of the year, what happens is we close out our books. Whatever money is not expended and it is not encumbered because of a commitment, that money goes back to surplus. So then we're allowed to withdraw from that surplus in the subsequent year to offset the tax rate.
Okay. Thank you. On the same page, receipts from delinquent taxes, 2022-2023, $240,000.
Okay.
Can you just...
There's a calculation in the financial statement that determines how much we're allowed to anticipate to offset the tax rate from delinquent taxes. We have a very high collection rate in town. It's, what is it?
Almost 99.
And then it's like 90, 98 or 90. It's, hold on, let me just find it. At prior year, actual for 2022 was 98.4%. So that 1.6% makes up that number. So based upon what we collect, we're actually allowed to anticipate $351,000 in delinquent taxes.
It's a formula.
Right. It's a formula, and we try to be as conservative on it as possible because you never know when people are not going to be able to pay their taxes.
Reserve for uncollected taxes, $467,000 last year, $610,000 this year.
That's on the back end. Right. Again, that's formula driven based upon the same thing that I'm telling you. That's the reserve that we have. The state makes us establish a reserve for the event if people don't pay their taxes.
So the state increased the reserve?
The formula increases
the formula? Reserve
based upon the size of the budget.
Got it. All right. that. Quickly, taxes you took care of. General revenues, current, let's see, it's the current fund anticipated revenues. And that's where you have all your grants. Okay. And I see in 2023 we have the $750,000 grant.
Mm-hmm.
How is that being utilized?
It was just discussed. It's anticipated that it's going to be utilized to do.
Oh, for that. Okay, because
yeah.
I saw something. All right. Any more DOT? Like last year we had DOT for Little Book Road, and then we had an NJDEP grant for a backhoe. Anything else anticipated?
The town applies for those during the course of the year. If we get them, we do a budget insertion, and we put it in after the budget's adopted.
And I just got a July 1st, we have a New Jersey DOT grant application that I sent over to the engineer, and he's working on that with Warren Gabriel. Okay. So that'll be...
Current fund, I'm just going to go through this as quick as I can. Current fund appropriations, mayor and council salaries and wages... $73,000. 23, it goes down to $16,000.
That's where the administrator's salary was being charged.
The difference between 16 and 73, that's the admin, right?
Yeah.
The budget.
About $57,000.
That's what we
reallocated. That's been taken out, so there's no reason to have a BA.
That was one of the questions that you raised.
Other expenses, it was $19,000 and went to $5,000.
Those also got reallocated. We had... Under the administrator, we had certain IT and other things. Oh. In that other expense line, it got moved to different lines.
And the financial administrator, treasury, salaries, and wages, it went from 46 to 65. 46,000 to 65,000. Salary and wages, financial administration, treasury.
We're anticipating additional requirements for work to be done, HR and the like.
Yes, we are.
So it's budgeted in there, but it hasn't been...
All right, so it says financial administration, treasury, salary and wages. What's
accounts receivable, CFO
treasurer.
So it's for professionals.
Professionals.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they're getting raises.
Basically.
No.
There's additional work that additional needs to be done that we need to
additional work, pay for. Yes.
Okay. Legal services. $70,000 last year, $60,000 this year. I don't know. This may not be for here. I may have to do this in public. Does our insurance company reimburse for lawsuits that the township attorneys that we have to pay for the township attorneys?
This is for our municipal attorney and maybe some residual other legal. I'm not sure if the tax.
Right, I'll ask the question.
We have a $5,000 deductible on our insurance policy.
Right.
But the work that our municipal attorney does alongside comes out of
this
budget.
This is what is in this budget here.
I can answer his question. No. They don't.
Well, maybe you get paid from both.
No.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
So you have New Hampton Historic Museum. It pretty much stayed the same, $33,000, $34,000. I didn't see anything for Bunville Library. Did I miss that?
No.
Is there?
No, it's there. It's there.
Okay. It's got a different name to it, but on the county operates that.
It's under education, and it's listed as Municipal Library. Right.
You're going to have a different format, but it's $70,000 total, and that includes the salaries and the operations because it runs through the county line. The libraries report to the county.
So the red one on Bunville,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
$70,000?
$70,000.
Has that been evaluated for its...
Actually, I take it back. It was $70,000 last year. This year it's $67,674.
Has that been evaluated, or is there ways to... Because I don't see many cars there, so I don't know how much use it has. So has it been evaluated for its efficiency, or if they can increase or have it more useful to taxpayers or citizens?
They advertise in the newsletter different programs. My understanding is it's very well used.
It's not open every day.
People use it.
It's part-time.
Right, it's part-time.
Part-time. No,
yeah.
Okay. And the salary and wages for the museum, I guess the $34,000 is just for salaries?
That's the salary side.
Yeah. And is that part-time?
That's also yes. part-time.
And how many people?
Two.
Two people?
Actually, isn't it? It's three, right? You have Eileen, Carla,
that's
and...
a library.
Oh, he's talking about museum. Okay, he went to the museum.
All right, so you have a 6-year capital program, anticipated project schedule, and funding requirements. So the numbers you have here from IT to a $250,000 dump truck and all the other stuff, that's over 6 years?
That's budgeted for this year.
This year.
That's all this year.
$847,000 to be spent this year. But to define it as capital, it has to have a greater than 5-year life, I think is what that headline.
Long-term value.
Yep. So is that where's that money coming from? Is that where the grant monies are being used from the state?
No, we've got...
This is just...
When the $750,000 grant money is offset by a $750,000 appropriation for the grant. This is what we need to spend for road paving.
This is just line items that have accumulated over time?
No.
Or it's just each year?
Each year.
Last year,
there might be a reserve or surplus. Go ahead, Mike. Yeah.
I think last year you mentioned the loader was purchased.
Yes.
This
yes.
year, obviously, we don't need a loader. We need a dump truck. DPW has a whole list of the age of every truck and every apparatus. We do a road overlay, chip and seal every year.
So one last, I think, so you have, on this budget, you have the attorney saying, is Matthew Lyons. Does that have to get changed to our attorney?
It's already been corrected.
That's been corrected?
It's been corrected.
And thanks for looking out for me.
And just one last thing is we have a chief financial officer and we have a registered municipal accountant. I believe they've been with us in town for a long period of time. Yeah. Has there been any, you may want to check to see if it's needed to, any checks and balances or maybe a fresh look at something?
That would be maybe more addressed with the auditor. The CFO is an employee of the town who stays as long as he's doing a great job. There's another auditor on top of it, and you would see the auditor fee. So his work gets double-checked by an auditor.
My concern
this year it's checked by the state.
My concern, you have had problems in other towns. Not saying it's here. There's no disrespect or anything with our professionals. But it may be something to discuss that you get another set of eyes on it because things happen.
And I'm just going to correct you because it has been here. It hasn't been here for years, but a prior clerk went to jail for embezzling funds.
I don't remember that one. So
It wasn't that long ago.
That's when I was hired.
That's
right. I was brought in.
CFO
after the
came
previous
in as part of
clerk
that.
Went to after the previous clerk got indicted for stealing funds.
Okay.
The person who was your treasurer at the time was unlicensed. I'm a CPA, I'm a certified municipal finance officer, I'm a public school accountant, and I'm a certified tax collector. So
thank you for your service.
Completely different.
Yep. Mm.
All right. So the point is it can happen here, it has happened here. So
Well, it's always good to get a fresh set of eyes and double check everything, especially when the people we've had been for a long time and they get cozy or complacent or human nature or whatever.
Yep.
So all right, thank you.
Hi, Rich Webb, Anthony Road again. I just have one quick question, and I don't know how this corresponds to your pagination. It's under current fund appropriations sheet 15C, common operating functions unclassified. There's a line item that says provision for salary adjustment, $68,000 in 2023. What is that for?
That's because we're in negotiations with our police department. So the police salaries did not reflect any increase while the contract's not been negotiated. But we know what we've offered them, and we've put that in the budget. So when we settle that contract, that's where the money would come from.
So that's specifically for the police?
That's only for the police on that
line.
Okay,
great. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Oh. I'm sorry, just one real quick. Leading up on Brian's, how do you didn't put it in the budget, any extra money for personnel? because it went to other places. So if you need extra money for personnel, we
as
Tom, you got to move money around, like you said, right?
As we pointed out two meetings ago, the budget, there's a budget cap. The state imposes the maximum increase we can have from the prior year. We hit right against that.
Okay.
So any allocations to increase one area, we have to reduce another area. That can be done during the year, but it's not.
Can't be done until November.
Okay.
November 1st. Can't do transfers until November, between November 1st and December 31st. And then you can do appropriation reserve transfers from January 1st to March 31st. So that's when we can move money around. Right. So if the committee decided to take an action to give people increases, they would first have to make sure that the salary ordinance and then a salary resolution are amended to show that their salaries would be within those confines of a minimum and a maximum.
Right, right.
And then if they did that and wanted to pay employees more than what's current, then at that point, if we didn't have sufficient money in the line item to pay them, then we would have to wait until November 1st and do a transfer between a line item where maybe, like salt, if we didn't spend all of our salt budget, we might be able to take money out of there and transfer it to the lines where they wanted to give people increases.
Do we currently have that, if I understand you correctly? Do we have that flexibility today?
To transfer.
November, we do. Yeah. Every year we do transfers.
Yeah, every year.
You got to wait till November.
Yeah. Early in. Yeah.
That's by state rule.
On open space money, we have $1.3 million or whatever sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Interest being, is that interest allowed to be used for non?
No.
Only set by the ordinance that the town adopted when they adopted the open space ordinance. And I believe our ordinance only allows for acquisition of open space and payment of open space debt. And we have. Maintenance.
But the earned interest, can that be used for other things than?
Stays in the fund.
Is that because that's what our ordinance says?
That's what the state says.
Right.
Well, that's a state reg.
Right. Mm-hmm. State statute. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Any other public comment on the budget? Seeing none. Do we have to close this? You have to close this. Okay. So we'll close public. Can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
For public hearing.
Second.
Public hearing, yes. Did you second it? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we'll move to the adoption of the 2023.
Nope. You want to adopt Resolution 56B.
That's the one I was talking about before, so we don't have to.
You have to adopt it now.
Okay. The amended budget. Okay.
No, so the amendments.
Yeah, that's it. The amended.
The amendments.
The amendments to the budget.
Right.
It's a crazy year, budget year.
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 56B, 2023, amending the municipal budget for the year 2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Now you want to take a motion to adopt the budget, 2023.
All right. Do I have a motion to adopt the 2023 budget?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. That's a lot. Okay, so with that, we're going to move. And, Greg, we need you for the next two items.
Yep,
so.
I know.
Okay, so we've got two resolutions here for police chief requests for some items. The first one is Resolution 57, 2023, approving the purchase of a LiveScan 10-print/palm and printer for $24,000. $32 and the printer for $1,421. Now, this resolution says that the chief financial officer has certified the availability of $25,000 under the general capital budget and $453 under the police department operating budget. But the question is, should it be ARPA, or is ARPA now in capital, or is it capital as it is on here? Because if not, we have to change the resolution.
It should be ARPA.
So then we have to change the resolution.
So, yeah, you'll amend it.
Just amend it.
Okay, so we can do it via.
You can just do it by, right, motion
make
to amend.
Make a motion
right.
to amend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to amend.
Any discussion, though, at all? Any discussion from anybody? You're okay with this? All right.
Motion to amend Resolution 57, 2023, whereas the chief financial officer has certified availability of
$25,453.
No, $24,032.
Well, the combined, okay.
Oh, okay.
No, no. $25,000 is just coming out of the...
Out of the ARP money. The $453 is coming out of the police department. Still doing it.
Okay, $25,000 under the American Recovery Act fund.
Oh, I see what you're doing, yeah.
That's the amendment.
Yeah. So, and do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay.
And motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 57-2023 as amended.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Thank you for putting so much structure on things. Okay. So the next one is resolution 58-2023, which is approving the purchase of a 2023 police interceptor utility vehicle with outfitting. Now, this one is another one. It's coming out of general capital budget, or is it ARPA?
ARPA.
It's ARPA. Okay. So
where's
we have
it coming from?
ARPA.
Okay.
American Rescue Plan funds. So, again, we have to have an amended...
Motion to amend.
Motion to amend resolution 58-2023.
To reflect the $50,000 is coming out of the American Recovery Plan
program
fund.
Got that?
Yeah. I'll make a motion to amend resolution 58-2023. The sixth whereas clause would be amended to say that the CFO, the chief financial officer, has certified the availability of $50,000 under the American Recovery Act plan instead of the general capital budget.
Okay.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, so that means now we have to make adopt a
motion
make,
to adopt make, as amended.
Yeah, make a motion to adopt the resolution as 58-2023 as amended. Do I have that motion?
I make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Good. All right. Phew. Next up is resolution number 59-2023, which is a redemption of a tax sale certificate, block 41, lot 3.02, 373 Vernoy Road in Califon. Whereas the tax collector did sell a tax certificate number 22-5 on 12/15/22 to G-Tech Capital LLC. Whereas the amount, $10,209.74, has been collected from Wayne Lisa for block 41, lot 3.02, 373 Vernoy Road, Califon, for the redemption of tax sale certificate number 22-5. Therefore, be it resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare the mayor, treasurer, and clerk to prepare, and the mayor and treasurer clerk be authorized to sign check in the amount of $10,209.74 for the redemption, and check in the amount of $10,000 for the premium payable to G-Tech Capital LLC. Do I have a motion to, or any discussion?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 59-2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Next up is another tax sale certificate, block 17, lot 32, Q0072, 15 Stevenson Lane. Resolution number 6023, redemption of tax sale certificate, whereas the tax collector did sell a tax sale certificate number 22-2 on 12/15/22 to Thomas Goldberg, whereas the amount of $162.42 has been collected from Jennifer and Joshua Taylor for block 17, lot 32, Q0072, 15 Stevenson Lane, Califon, for the redemption of tax sale certificate 22-2. Therefore, be it resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare, and the mayor, treasurer, and clerk be authorized to sign a check in the amount of $162.42 payable to Mr. Thomas Goldberg. Do I have a motion to approve resolution number 60-2023?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number...
Approve.
Resolution number 60-2023.
Make it adopt. He said adopt.
Adopt. Resolution number 60-2023, redemption of tax sale certificate.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. With that, we've got the memorial policy back on the agenda. This is a continuation. It's been going on for a year and a half, basically. And the original intent was to have it focused on people that wanted to have benches or plaques in the park for their loved ones, you know, that might have passed away. we were starting to get enough people looking to do this that we, as a committee, decided we need some kind of a policy and an application when people come in. So that was the original intent. Once we started talking about it, we realized there were some more complications involved, and also that it should be, because it's not just about the park, it's also about the library, possibly, or about the museum, or other township-owned properties. So with that, the directive was, since I was a subcommittee with myself and Mark Lawl on this, so it's, I'm still the subcommittee, even though he's gone. So I went around and I got all of the comments and I marked it up, and then we, at the last, I guess, two, three meetings ago, we put it back on the agenda, but then there were some other complications because of certain items that might have come through a 501c3. Or how does it affect fundraising programs that may be pavers? So this, what I did was, I went back again, and I didn't send this to everybody, but it's I basically added some language, took out other language to get rid of fees, maintenance fees. We'll have to deal with that on a case-by-case basis because fees have to be part of a fee schedule.
Ordinance.
You know, via ordinance. I had a long talk with the attorney on all of this. He approved my language, and we did discuss the fees and some of the other complications, and the only amendment that came out after I sent this out to you is on the types of donations. He said we need to, and he'll have to explain this, we didn't know this, but any accepted donation will be formally approved by way of ordinance or resolution as appropriate. Apparently, when we started this a year and a half ago, we didn't realize there's a state statute regarding accepting donations, and it depends on what it is, whether it's got to be accepted by ordinance or by resolution. So, but what I did do is I'm going to read this out to you just so that the public hears it once and for all. It's not that long, but what the intent of this policy was is to cover the types of donations, the standards, appearance, and aesthetics, the installation, the maintenance and ownership, the cost, the removal and relocation, and then the procedure with an application. So, you know, like I said, this is an umbrella policy. If anybody wants to take it beyond that into the tactical realm of wish lists or getting catalogs, if somebody wants to pick a bench, for example, that they want to keep it a certain bench for the park so that we don't have a hodgepodge of different benches, maybe some that fall apart, We can do that. This is basically, let's have a policy, because the alternative is to say we're not going to accept donations. And I don't think that's where we were going. And I'm going to tell you another thing. If we say, as a committee, we vote that we're not accepting these donations because of ordinances and resolutions or any of this other stuff, I know what's going to happen. 3 weeks from now, somebody's going to walk through that door that's going to have some kind of a donation that they might want to make in the park that we might want to take. So I think even if we never use this policy, it's good to have it on the books. It's not going to be an ordinance because Matt was going to have it as an ordinance because there were fees involved possibly. So when he was around, but it's not, we're not going to have fees unless we decide to have fees, and then we would put it in a schedule. So, and then it could be an ordinance. But this is...
When this was up a couple of meetings ago,
mm-hmm.
there was a discussion, and I agreed to provide written...
And you did.
Amendment, mm-hmm. And that's my question. So mm-hmm. on April 13th, I provided to you and the clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Was the committee provided my draft recommendation?
No, that wasn't what the discussion was about. It was going to be, you give me comments, I gave them to the attorney.
So the mayor gets to veto my comments.
No, it's not about vetoing.
No, it's vetoing then.
No, he looked at everything, and, okay. and we needed to have...
Saying,
Mike, I looked
if
at your...
If the committee's comfortable with that, then I...
Well, let me just tell you. Let me just tell you what happened here. I did make adjustments based on what you were writing.
I see that. You took
because...
You took out the burdensome...
Right, because it was impeding progress. Yeah. You know, that was part of the problem. And the thing is some of the stuff you were doing was changing the original objective by putting in wish lists and things. But I did send it to him.
If the committee's comfortable with you vetoing it, I'm not going to say anymore.
There wasn't a veto. You can call it a veto. Let me read this. The township, this is the policy, umbrella policy. The Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, New Jersey. Policy for dedicatory memorial donations and certain other structural donations intended for placement on township-owned property. Purpose. The purpose of this policy is to establish guidelines, standards, and procedures for the review and approval, installation, and care of dedicatory memorial donations and applicable structural donations on township-owned property. The material donations covered by this policy are those not associated with a fundraising program and those not covered as a source, not considered a source of revenue or as an avenue for commercial advertising. This policy does not apply to material or structural donation offers from a 501c3 that are intended for placement on township-owned property. Donation of items intended for placement on township-owned property that are not covered by this policy will be considered by the Township Committee on a case-by-case basis. Types of donations. The Township of Lebanon will consider structural donations and dedicatory memorial donations from both individuals and groups, public and private, while at the same time managing the aesthetic impacts and mitigating ongoing maintenance costs and concerns. Donations may include benches, plaques, and other items at the sole discretion of the Township Committee in consultation with members of the appointed committees, commissions for the property on which the donations are intended. The Township Committee reserves the right of full editorial control over content, wording, and appearance of the structure or item. The committee shall consider ties to Lebanon Township and therefore contributions to forming and continuing a communal memory. The Township Committee will have final approval authority for all aspects of any proposed donation and may deny any or all aspects of a donation. And this is the sentence now that Mr. Roselli put in here. Any accepted donation will be formally approved by way of ordinance or resolution as appropriate. Then we go into standards, appearance, and aesthetics. The township has an interest in ensuring the best appearance, aesthetic quality, and safety of township property, including public spaces. Donations need to be high quality as related to style, appearance, durability, and ease of maintenance and should reflect the character of the property location. The township may pre-select or specify the requirements for specific items such as benches or picnic tables in order to ensure common appearance, required quality, and maintenance. All donations will be installed in such a manner that will not substantially change the character of the property without the consent of the Township Committee. The Township Committee will have final authority in determining the appropriate location and specific site for the donation, but will do so after consulting with the supervisor of the Department of Public Works and the appropriate appointed boards and or commissions. Complex or large structural donations may require a site plan review by the Planning Board. Then we get into installation. The Department of Public Works will oversee the installation of donation along with members of the appointed committees, commissions for the property on which the donations are installed. Committees, commissions may include but are not limited to the Park Committee, which is Memorial Park, librarians for the library, historians for the museum, and the Environmental Open Space Commission for donations on Lebanon Township acquired open space. The installation will be scheduled at a time and date as determined by the Supervisor of Public Works and appropriate appointed committees, commissions, representatives, so as not to interfere with the routine maintenance or other public activities, like in the park if you were to have something going on. Maintenance and ownership. All donations become township property. The township has an interest in ensuring that all donations remain in good repair and that short and long-term repair costs are reasonable. Donations must be of high quality to ensure optimal longevity, be resistant to the elements, wear and tear, and to acts of vandalism. Due to factors beyond the township's control, it cannot guarantee the longevity of the donation. The township committee, at its sole discretion, has authority to replace, move, or remove the donated item. Cost. The donor will cover the full cost for the purchase and installation. Removal and or relocation, and then I took out notification because we're not going to be notifying people. The Township Committee, in its sole discretion, reserves the right to remove or relocate donations and their associated acknowledgments, memorial plaques, when they interfere with the site safety, maintenance, construction activities, are vandalized or damaged beyond repair, become the subject of controversy, or other reasons. The Department of Public Works, upon approval of the Township Committee, may remove the donation with no guarantee of continued dedicatory recognition or placement. In the event that a donation must be removed from its current location for any reason, the Township will, when feasible, seek an alternate location consistent with this policy. So then the donation procedure. The donor will complete an application form, which I don't know if I attached it on here or not. Probably not on this. I have both. The donor will complete an application form and submit to the township clerk. The clerk will review the application for completeness and send it to the appropriate volunteer committee, commission, or board responsible for determining if the donation request meets the criteria in this policy and whether a location is available. If the request meets the criteria, it will be placed as an agenda item on the next available township committee meeting for review. The township committee must approve all donation requests. The township will consider site-specific location requests within an appropriate township property, but the donation must not interfere with the intended current or future use of the property and not require the relocation of other equipment or infrastructure to accommodate the donation. With regard to dedicatory memorials, although every resident has a right to request a memorial for their significant individuals, space is limited and there may be a wait list depending on the type of dedicatory donation requested. Every effort will be made by the township to offer an alternative suggestion for a memorial or a specific location should the donor's first request not be available. The township committee and other appropriate appointed boards and or committees may determine that specific township properties are fully developed and therefore the opportunity for donations in those areas would not be available. So basically, when the donor comes, they get an application and they read this and they sign the application that they've read this so that they understand the policies, everything in here. And it covers all the pillars. And I did, again, this was researched all over the country because I couldn't find anything local. So I took from different templates all over the place language that I thought was good. Then I scaled it back based on what everybody here was saying. That, you know, they were afraid about fees. Even if it said may collect fees, that was a hot point, so I took out the fees. We can deal with that on an individual basis once the committee reviews the application and then go by law accordingly, whatever we have to do. But at least we have something. So I'm going to make a motion to approve this policy. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Oh, well, we had some already. Roll call.
Nope.
Yes.
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 Madam Mayor, I would just suggest at the next meeting, to memorialize the adoption by way of resolution.
By resolution, that's right. I forgot about that.
And then you're going to just the changes that you had mentioned.
Right.
Are not in, no, at least the version I was reading.
Right. And changes. And thank you for all your help on all of this because it was a lot, you know, reviewing all of it, his, mine, everything. Okay.
I have something if you're done under unfinished business.
Well, I hate to. We have a policy with the agenda. Is it something that could wait till the next meeting?
Well, it's really pretty simple.
It's going to open a door. Don't hold it off. Just till the next meeting. I don't want to be inconsistent with this stuff, you know. So, all right, so new business. Go into the next hot item. Discussion, repeal the ordinance number 2019-06, creating the Office of Administrator.
I'll make that motion.
No. I think we should have a little, you know, a discussion first. I appreciate that you're making that motion. But yeah, everybody spoke, but I just want to cover some of the other issues that were associated with this that I did talk to Mark about. And basically, you know, I know some people are afraid about, okay, well, pending litigation. Well, it turns out it's not pending litigation. There's potential litigation, and anybody can sue. So this isn't – originally people were thinking maybe if we take this off the books, it's going to hurt a case if we should have a lawsuit. Okay. So we don't. But in my opinion, I think – I'm going to tell you the reasons why we don't need it. But I feel right now – you see all these times we're going into executive session to talk about personnel. I think this issue is impeding some of our succession plan discussions. I think we need to remove it from the discussion or, you know, whoever wants to vote however they want to vote on it. But the thing is I needed to get this out in the public because I don't feel like it's advancing an executive session. Here's how I feel. We don't – the ordinance gives too much power to the position. I think, Rich, you mentioned it. It's like
I've said that for a long time, Bev.
What?
Way too much.
Oh, I thought you said wait.
It's too much power.
You have been saying that. You keep saying, read this ordinance. So if anything, down the road, if we need it, you know, we can replace it. Within 8 weeks, you can have a proper ordinance.
I just wonder if there's a – well – We could, if there's a hybrid situation that we come up with in our search.
Right. So, and I know where you're going with that. So I did some work on that. That was the 2 a.m. night. So you'll be hearing about that tonight. But anyway, the thing is we don't have utilities, water, sewer, pool, golf courses. And from what I just read, some of these utilities have budgets that reside outside of your own budget. So you've got other...
Good.
You know, I mean, I was surprised. I saw that with the Department of Local Government Services put out something on it, and I'm like, wow. So, and I also feel, you know, we've had two experiences. I'm not going to get into too much detail.
Please, let's not get into personal.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, I was always taught when I was in my corporate job, you can delegate authority, but you cannot delegate responsibility. This person will be responsible, but they will create staff. They will give things to other staff members here. I've seen it happen. You know, and then the other people won't be compensated for it. It's and then they're going to just keep hiring people. Our legal costs went up the last time. And again,
that was the other guy whose name's out of the budget, though.
Yeah. So I just the thing is a part-time administrator, we don't need a full-time administrator. Basically, you really do not need a full-time administrator. A part-time administrator, you're going to get somebody who's stretched in different directions. They may be working on the other town stuff when they're here. They may not be here for the public when the public needs to see them. They may choose to not see the public. Then somebody's going to have to see the public if that's not them. Because really, if that ordinance stays the way it is, they're basically running the show, and they can tell anybody, any employee, to do basically any part of the job. They can delegate it. I don't know if you want to. You don't need to add anything to it if you don't want to. But
no, I think the issue is, the issue is whether or not you want the position or not. I mean that the town. You know, towns. Some towns have administrators. Some towns don't. Ordinances can be repealed as easy as they're adopted, right? So yeah. If you repeal an ordinance, you can. If your situations change where you need to come up with a different hybrid, it doesn't even take 8 weeks. Actually, it takes. They'll take doing about 30 days. I mean, from two meetings, so it's so it's not a big deal. And, you know, from the policy perspective, like you said, you've had experience with part-time administrators. It's tough to be a part-time administrator. Mm-hmm. In my experience, I've been involved in municipal government for almost 30 years. Smaller towns, you know, with part-time administrators, it's tough. There's not enough continuity, so it's a hard bargain. And I think, you know, Mr. Webb had made the comment, right, if you're going to have an administrator, are you willing to have a full-time administrator, which that hasn't been the case here. And if you're going to get a full-time administrator, you're going to be paying them six figures. That's just the market. Mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, I think that's where you have to look at it, and then you can always adjust. But it's a policy call.
So do we need a resolution?
No, what you have to do is you have to do an ordinance to repeal this ordinance.
Okay.
You know, the question is, if you're in agreement, then... And that's something that a committee wants to do, then, you know, I can draft an ordinance to repeal that section of the code.
Yeah. And I also think, and just, you know, before we go to a vote on this, I just feel that we are facing the potential loss of some of our staff. And the answer is not hiring an administrator. It's, you know, there are other ways to look at this, to be more efficient about it and to get the job done without thinking you need a boss to run everything and delegate things and whatever. So with that...
If we were to write or craft another ordinance with some type of administrator, is it statutory 4-1 for removal all across the board? If you want to terminate or remove from office... Is it a 2/3 majority? Is that statute?
It is for an administrator.
So right? You have to be careful how you word that.
Correct. Right. Okay. Specific in the statute dealing with administrators that talks about an administrator and then the removal provision. Okay. Right. So it's a supermajority, and you're saying, you know, it'll be 3 out of 5 votes. Right. Okay. So that's what it's specific for that. So, you know, hybrids are just that, right? So you know, at that point. Words matter. So you know, to the extent that as you go through your process, need arises, we'll have to come up with something so that if you don't want to confront that, we'll make sure you don't confront that. There's other issues, right, for different positions, statutory positions, right? I mean, they have certain protections depending on what the constitutional, you know, positions, clerk, collector, assessor, CFOs. But, right, that okay. When they need administrator, that's unique to that.
Yeah, and if you were to hypothetically have a situation where you had a clerk administrator, there are other ways to look at it rather than straight salary. You could even hire somebody and then, like, say, like you had a good seasoned clerk that you hired, and after 6 months you see they have the talent and the capabilities to do the, I don't want to call it administrator light. They're not going to be doing contract negotiations or anything like that.
I think. I'm sorry, Marilyn. I think that the question becomes the extent of duties beyond those traditionally associated with the clerk's position, right?
Right? Statutory position.
Right.
So then
finding someone who's able or you know, if you can go in that direction to fill that gap.
Yeah, and then maybe like the person, again, like at 6 months point, you could, you know, bump them up or give them a stipend, maybe not even a salary in their base salary, maybe a stipend. But even as long as this ordinance is on the books, I personally think it's hard to even like put the, like, if you may be able to get a clerk, for example, that will do some of these responsibilities outside of their statutory responsibilities because the committee assigns it to them and they agree to do it. Anything they've agreed to do, you could do it. But if this is on the books, I see things that say, unless, you know, any duties assigned by the committee, unless in another ordinance these were assigned. I just want this thing out of here. I really do. We can recreate it. If 3 years down the road somebody convinces me or convinces the committee we really need this situation, but right now I just feel like it's a hindrance, and I feel like there's bad blood with it, and I just want to put it to bed one way or the other. That's why I wanted us all to just come out in public and talk about it.
Look, Spider. I'll make a motion to appeal ordinance number 20.
It won't be a motion to repeal. The motion would be to.
Well, it says repeal.
I know that. That's a discussion.
It's probably my fault. Okay.
So if your consensus would be is that if you want to proceed with creating an ordinance to repeal, that provision of the code would be
motion to proceed.
That's my motion.
With
an ordinance.
All right, Abe seconded it. Roll call.
Is there a discussion?
Yeah, you can discuss it.
Okay. Obviously, I see the realities of the election, the campaigning, what I consider a tremendous amount of misinformation that went out, and so I'm not going to battle repealing this ordinance. If you listen carefully to the discussion, though, you hear a lot of discussion up here about things that have to be done, and the question is who's going to do them. As Mr. Webb said, I take exception with, you know, this isn't General Motors CEO ordinance, but there's a list of things in that ordinance, tasks that need to be done. It was mentioned here, contract negotiations. Okay, we do that. I've been on every contract negotiation for the last 7.5 years just because that's where I landed when I started. Let me give you an example of how tightly controlled our township is. I just want to give you a couple of stories and why I think we need some professional management. Let me also say, last year we had a legal review of our township triggered by some employee complaints. They came in, 22-page report, an attorney from outside this county looked through our operations, and one of their conclusions was that
God bless you.
God bless you.
Functions and roles have been taken on by tradition over time. People have sort of taken some on. Other things haven't been taken on. We have holes in what is done and what's not done. I don't know how much of that report you could make available to the public last year. It's got a lot of personnel matters in it, so it would have to be heavily redacted. But some of the conclusions would be that we should formalize what roles are taken on by whom. Different discussion of who takes them on, but we have holes in what's being done. An example I want to give, when I came on the committee 7.5 years ago, I was put on our CWA, our contract negotiation team. So I got very familiar with the contract. Shortly thereafter, an employee came in. We have non-work disability benefits, full salary, full continuation of benefits, everything. Person can be out for 6 months on full pay. They came to the committee, got to me. I was new on the committee. basically a one-sentence handwritten note that said, I'll be out starting October for 6 months. And everybody's, okay, he's going out. I said, no doctor's note? I mean, I don't need to know, but somebody should know that there's a doctor certifying this. They went to the contract. They said, no, it doesn't say a doctor's note is required. If I say I need 6 months, so we had to contort it a little bit. We looked and we said, okay, at the start of a disability leave, you have to use 5 sick days. The contract says after 3 sick days, you need a doctor's note to say why you're out for those days. So we said, we need something. I just want you to know, that's the level of control that this committee, this township had 7 years ago. We've gone through a couple of cycles of the contract. We've put controls in. And I'm not saying that anyone in this township has abused anything. It's the opposite. Can this committee say that no one's abusing it? We don't know. If you ask me how many hours was generated in overtime the last 7 years for snow plowing, we don't have those records. If you ask me how many police overtime hours have been accrued this far this year, we'd have to go down to the police chief. We don't feed that up into our budget because we don't have people to do it. And you can say, well, why don't we do it? It's already been said, everybody in this hallway is running very full out. I don't have access to the payroll system. None of us do. So that's just a long way to say, repeal it. I get it. It's a political statement. Do that. Figure out how we're going to manage the town. But listen to everyone saying there are things that have to be done that aren't being done.
We've had two administrators, and they weren't getting done either.
And I don't want to get.
I don't think it's a political.
I don't want to go into.
So you got a motion in a second, so let's vote here.
Mayor.
I'm sorry. The public comment earlier said elections have consequences.
I'm not talking out.
I fully agree with
people
that.
Talking
this
out
is a political statement. And the attorney has said, this is a policy statement. That policy is political. He's not giving us legal advice on this. He's giving us his policy advice.
Well, policy isn't political. Policy is policy. Political is just a different thing.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Political factions set the policy.
No. That's a discussion I'm about, right? Policy
I'm
is right. Policy is issue that a governing body always establishes
I've
policy.
I've stated my case, and I'm done. Mm.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second.
So that's why I hope that we go into this with open eyes as well, because I do think that there's areas of administration, not an administrator, but there are areas of administration that is lacking that we need to look into and how we do that. And this municipal building in 5 years may be totally different than what we are right now. So if everyone can work together on this with all ideas coming forward, I think we'd be a lot better off. Mm-hmm. So you can go for your roll call.
Yeah, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. I did bring bubbles. I was going to blow them, but...
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so up next is the historian's request to spend $1,000 from the trust fund to restore a painting.
Yes.
And you want to talk about that?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I was at the meeting when this was brought to our attention, and there was a donation of 4 paintings that had been in the township home for many, many years, maybe a couple of homes. And they were in somewhat of... poor shape due to nicotine and over the cooking stove and grease, but they were Dan Ross paintings, who's a local legend in the painting in Lebanon Township. So the thought came that possibly we could have them repaired and brought back to as close to their natural state as they could. And the curators and the historians have looked into an individual who's willing to do that. And these 4 paintings will come at a cost of $250 per painting to repair. And just so we all know, they did a small section of the painting so you could see exactly what was going to happen to those paintings, and that would clear that off the residual grease and nicotine. So we thought this would be an appropriate place to use the money was the museum trust fund, because it's a value that you'll keep for years. So they're asking us to approve a $1,000 requisition I guess Christy Cussworth is a highly recommended painting conservator in Lambertsville who can do this professionally for us at $250 per painting. So I would think that it'd be worthwhile to put the money into that.
And his paintings are like photographs. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, they're on wood. They're pretty incredible.
Yeah. Well, let's hold off till, yes, public comment. So is there a motion to approve the historian's request to spend $1,000 from the trust fund to restore the paintings? Don Ross's paintings? Hey, second? Does somebody have a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we go to presentations of the vouchers.
One for payment of the second quarter county open space tax, $74,188.18.
I have one here for Hunterdon County ESC Technology Services. It's a blanket purchase order for $3,000. I have a tax lien certificate we spoke about earlier with a resolution, number 22-5, block 41, lot 302, $10,209.74. Along with that goes the return of premium certificate for $10,000. I have to the county our second quarter county taxes, $776,819.27. And the last one I have is statewide insurance fund. This is installment 3 of 4 for our workman's compensation and our umbrella insurance, $57,395.06.
I have none that apply.
All right. GapGen LLC, this is for the police table and tent through the Green Community Grant it's going to be. This will probably be used, from what I understand, for the carnival and other events possibly, in the amount of $1,375 even. Police and Firemen's Retirement System, Division of Pensions, annual appropriation in the amount of $298,285 even. CDW Government in the amount of $1,070.67. Lawman Supply of New Jersey, Inc., obviously, police items in the amount of $3,887.40. Lawman Supply Company, New Jersey, again. This is body armor vest in the amount of $2,781.32. And that's all I have that qualifier.
Okay.
I have one for the second quarter library tax for $76,279.21.
Okay, that's it?
That's it.
All right. So the total bill list for the period ending May 3rd, 2023 is $1,493,359.29. Can I get a motion to approve the bill list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Then we just have some minutes from the Lebanon Township Environmental and Open Space. And I just want to comment on that I really like the job that Sharon Petzinger did, the chair, when she laid out a code of conduct, basically, in her minutes of how they're going to deal with the public when they go to properties with each other and all that. And the minutes are very well done. I didn't think anybody could ever beat Adam Duckworth's minutes, too, but they're just as good. I'll say that. But they're in a different way good. So, and then we also have Historians March 2023 meeting minutes. I don't know if you want to say anything.
I have nothing.
All right. So with that, do I have a motion to open a public comment? Any items anybody wants to talk about?
I'll make a motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Oh, where's the paintings going to be?
The what?
Paintings.
In the museum.
Museum.
You're going to say this? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Let's see now.
Went to a planning board meeting last night. There was a discussion about Airbnbs and how to handle that. And there were some very good comments. And I'm sure your committee people can bring you up to date on that. But put it in a nutshell, there's no benefit to the township residents to have that. And it's all negative criteria all the way down. No financial, no services, burden on services, the whole nine yards. So hopefully the planning board recommends to prohibit, and you get that, and and it gets followed through with, and we don't have that headache. And I'm sure when you get informed of all the details of the public comments and things like that, it will be more clear. The other thing is, of course, with new hires, they'd be on probation. Imagine that's a standard thing in hiring somebody in town. The initial probation period?
In our CWA contract it is. For police, I think by statute it is.
It depends on the position.
And
like you were alluding to, you don't have to call somebody a business administrator or administrator. There's always other titles and under other people to do, you know, that they could be under. But my concern is, and I do want to get clarification, and maybe Mark can help on this with his 30 years experience in government and mayor and all this, is that why didn't we put, or should we have put, money set aside or have flexibility for if Kim or Karen or somebody went out, there would be funds there to provide the services, because you can't take two people's job and try to shove it on one person.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So why was that overlooked? Because from my understanding is you can't do anything until November 1st. Is that correct?
Oh, you mean transfers?
If we know what we're doing, as long as we consciously decide to be ready for November 1st. I think your assumption that we don't have some flexibility to do that is incorrect.
All right, so let's say an employee goes out for an extended period of time, but that position needs to get filled.
Yeah.
Part-time, whatever the case.
Yeah.
Do you have the flexibility to do that?
Yes.
Prior to November 1st?
Within reason, yes.
Okay.
As the example I gave earlier, for example, we could go to the DPW department and say, could we do half the road paving? There are ways to do it to get prioritized money someplace else.
Right, but do you have to
But
wait?
It would have to. We'd have to take something to do something.
Yeah. Do you have to wait till November 1st when there's that period?
No. We just have to be planning for it ahead of time.
Okay.
The CFO is correct that the official transfer resolution doesn't happen until November, but we can make sure that there's money in one account we're drawing down another account.
You just officially do it.
So you can hire and pay for somebody without waiting till November, is what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
And that's how you don't have to have a bigger salary gap or have money set aside just for that, because you have that flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. And right now we haven't identified the need, so we...
You just never know.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't forget, I'm sorry, but you can't budget for things that you are not spending money for.
Right. Correct.
Right? I mean, that's how municipal budgeting is. It's very specific. So you can't budget for a wish list. Right? So that's why...
that's what I meant. We don't have the need to identify.
Because your prior year's budget has an impact on your subsequent year's budget and how you expend the funds, and then that sets limitations. So... You have to be conservative in budgeting. You try to anticipate as much as you can, but it's a budget, right? Things happen, then you make additions as you can. But with employees, that happens all the time. There's if an employee were to leave, then that salary is budgeted for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to have a differential between what that. And let's say most of the time, the employees who leave are long-time employees, right? So their salary structure is usually higher. So then you bring somebody in who's not hasn't been in the town that long, their starting salary is not going to be what that person's ending salary is. So there's a difference. So that a lot of times with employees, that difference helps you cover the cost for as you bring people on.
I absolutely understand and agree.
I think one of the issues that would be a struggle to the town, but I think you just clarified, Mike, is if somebody went out for 6 months, but you have to fill it, who's doing that work? You have to get somebody in to do that work for that period of time, or if somebody has accumulated time, and you know, when I retired, I have a lot of accumulated time. They still have me on the books for 3 months.
When I mentioned
but
we
on
don't
a bigger department, you have flexibility in this town. Very little flexibility.
When I mentioned that we don't have good data on how much time people have, but we have some idea, and if you look through, we have accumulated leave reserves. So if somebody went out for 6 months, we can draw on a different reserve to cover the replacement.
Okay.
When I said we're on a firm financial footing, we can take care of reasonably seen.
Yeah, I just didn't know if the town was handcuffed and they just couldn't do anything.
Within reason, we're not.
Yeah.
And some of the situations we're dealing with, just so that you don't think it's not complicated, you have statutory situations where you can't, say for hypothetically somebody leaves and they're in a statutory position and they have vacation time and comp time that takes, that they're gone for 2 months, you still can't have their position filled by law because it's a statutory position, and maybe, for example, Kim would be signing things up until the date that somebody leaves. There's a lot of little overlays with all of this that we have to work our way through, so it's taking time to figure out what the succession plan is for all of this.
Right, but then somebody, there could be an assistant, so that person takes
right.
on the other.
Right, yeah, that's
other,
how you have to do it. It's like
a trickle-down effect.
You think it's easy to just, like, replace or whatever, but it's not. There's a lot of little complications, so.
Shortage.
Any other public comment?
My name is Lisa. I'm on Dewey Lane. The one question I have that I've been listening, especially when it comes to, I understand that there's a lot of work involved, and as you just clarified, that there's a lot of statutory when it comes to replacing someone. But what I'm not understanding is you have a DPW supervisor, and you also have police chief, and when you say that you have no records,
I said I'm carefully stating centralized records.
Okay.
And I said the example
okay.
is I can go to the police chief to get
okay.
the information.
Okay.
Go to the DPW.
Okay.
I'm not accusing.
I'm not making any. I'm just trying. I'm just. Please let me finish my question.
Let me finish my question.
Thank you. Okay. What I'm not understanding is, why is it so difficult to, okay, you don't have centralized records, point taken. However, you could go and get from those two supervisory positions, people in those supervised positions, to have a more definitive record of who has this amount of time or that amount of time allocated to them because of their years of service, okay?
Yep.
Why is that not?
What I want to just preface anything I'm saying with is there's no evidence that there's any abuse anywhere in the township.
Right, I understand
information
that.
Information exists.
So then my answer
is that sounds like a perfect task for an administrator.
No.
To centralize it.
But why can't it not be just pulled from the two people who have the supervisory positions and placed in front of everyone? An administrator doesn't.
It just has to be done.
Not from an administrator point of view. You have supervisors of those two departments. They have those records, yes?
Yeah.
So submit them.
Yeah. Yep.
Period. I'm sorry if I'm oversimplifying. I just don't understand why you need an administrator to duplicate.
And I tried to say it's an administrator could do it. It could be done by someone else. The fact is it's not done right now. No one is assigned that task. So that's the sort of thing we need to
So why aren't the two supervisors in the DPW and the police not providing that information?
So let's be careful about, you know, talking about employees and what they're doing. It could be
okay. I'm sorry.
That's right. It could be construed as performance related issues.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to bring
that's right.
into the circle.
That's why I'm here.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. But I mean, it's just to me a very simple thing that could be done without the business administrator.
I think that's the difference here. I think I don't think you need a township administrator to do that. A CEO, you need an administrative function outside of.
Because what you're saying, all right, sick days, comp time, overtime comes to me. What am I doing with it? Going to the CFO? Where am I going with that information?
Okay.
So there needs to be somebody to capture what Mike's talking about, and he's saying administrator. I'm saying there needs to be an administrative layer of something
yes.
that at certain areas we're lacking, and mm-hmm. we need that oversight at a central location who has the information right in front of them.
Hmm. Okay.
There'll be more to, I think, coming down the road. We're going to talk about some of this stuff as we go forward mm-hmm. with a movement towards where Lebanon Township wants to be, our succession plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the administrator has been appealed, repealed.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Not, right?
Proposed.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So I think that that's the step most folks wanted to see here,
mm-hmm.
and it was achieved.
Okay.
But I think you have to let the committee do their job as well.
Yes.
In the areas that we see that you may not see.
Okay.
Mike may see it. I may see it where I think we need to channel certain information and potentially add or compensate to the individual that may be getting the additional work, and that's what I'm calling a layer of administration.
Okay, a
right?
layer. I can.
And that's
I
what
can.
I think we all need to look at here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think perhaps Beb's choice of removing this or whatever may open the discussion a little bit clearer here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I apologize if I oversimplified. I just thought,
you're doing fine.
And
yeah, well, all good information you're bringing us.
Mm-hmm. How it's been in the past, Lisa, is usually when we come down to a real question like that, it usually falls on we have to ask Greg,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he has all the real numbers.
And you have to realize too that you've got, and I'll just a little bit give you some of the dynamics. There are people in this office you can't. We know sometimes these responsibilities need to – there are gaps.
Mm.
But you can't just put it on somebody if you're not going to compensate them for it. Mm. So it's like what's agreed to was one thing, and then if things keep coming more and more and more, there's a point where you're not going to be a doormat.
Correct.
So, you know, like an employee's not going to be a doormat, or they're going to have a morale problem.
Mm.
So you have to – we have to look at all of this stuff, and we have limited budget. So you have to figure out the best way to use that budget and the best way to handle these inefficiencies so that they're closed.
Okay. Thank you.
So my question would be, if you had to compensate people, and I do believe you should, would that compensation be put in as an amount of money set aside for the work that they're doing in the event that it's somewhere down the road you're going to say we have to hire someone to do this job to fill this position?
Flexible and move.
Correct. Because
yes.
otherwise they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, I've been getting all this money. Now all of a sudden you're going to take X amount of dollars away.
I think we would try to do our best to accomplish that.
Okay. I brought to the attention of this committee before, there is a problem down at the library. After you go walking around the circled garden there, the next piece of concrete going up towards the library has a gap that much. Someone is going to get hurt. I've asked that to be filled, and I hope that it happens before someone does end up suing the township.
You're on notice, so let's get it fixed, please.
Brian's writing it down, and I'm following up to it, so at least we have two heads are better than one.
It's already been talked.
We're half brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
interim, if you have to yellow paint it, fine. If you have to put yellow paint something, I don't know how big it is.
And my question to you is that, you can't hear me? I don't like to really talk sitting like here. I could do it better over there. But anyway, you mentioned roads, and I, just something to think as we get onto that topic. I live on Sun Mountain, and Sun Mountain, right now it's like being on a dirt lane. It's terrible. And what happened the last time it was done, we were so excited. I was, many people. I don't know. I'm not talking for everyone. But it looked so lovely. It really was an achievement to have the road fixed, and I don't remember how many years ago. I don't know how long it took, but a water broke, so that we have a water company up there. So they fixed it. Then they decided to bring the pipe down along Highview Street. Now, it's not a pretty road anymore, because once you break into it, it just starts to crumble. So maybe, I don't know, are they responsible, the people that have the water company, to fix the road like it was when you people did it originally, or whatever, because the road is a mess.
I can tell you the $750,000 grant covered Sun Mountain, several of those roads over there.
Okay, so but the thing is, if you put it in and you do such
a
fantastic job, you're throwing your money away if they start pulling it up because there's broken pipes or someone needs water going in that has a well. So, I mean, I who is responsible to refix it?
And that's the water company.
Yeah. Well, it's going to depend, right? You know, if you have a road opening permit. And
you need a road opening permit.
Right, and then, and I'm not familiar with what your requirements are, but the road opening permit usually gets reviewed by the engineer. They okay it. You know, they have it, whatever they trench, they trench, they cover it. Usually, you require a certain maintenance. If it's going to be maintenance bonds, it doesn't exceed 2 years.
I was just going to say, once they pass the inspection that it was done correctly.
Yeah, and then even if it's a 2-year maintenance bond, then, you know, that's what happens. You know, the fact that you're looking to pave new roads, what you may want to do, a lot of towns do this when they go through a program where they're doing roads, is that they have a moratorium on road openings for 5 years after the new road's put down. So that
a water main break.
There's exceptions, but you don't, you know, you have to be careful about that, because you have a brand new road, then they start chipping away, and that road's, you know, it's going to be, it's going to impact the road, right? So
we have more holes up there than you can imagine, and it's constantly, you know, like this, but it really was a shame. You did a beautiful job, and it didn't last too long. So, and I've been up there for 53 years, so. Okay, it was nice having you, son. But somebody has to be able to say, if you're going to do something, you have to fix it, so it's not having holes.
Or we find out ahead of time what they're. Well, then when they have a water main break, you don't really know.
Anything's going to break.
Yeah, you just don't know. If it's a proactive thing, it's one thing, but if it's a breakage, it's another.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was good. It's good.
Thank you.
Hi, Anna Orlowski, Slyker Road. Just a quick question. Anybody know when Littlebrook Road is going to be finally paved?
It's on the schedule for this year.
Yes. I mean, we talked to the guys that were working on it last year. They said said spring.
You've got cones and, yeah, I don't think, between the weather and contracting, you've got cones because your down
catch basins
have been raised.
Were raised up. In preparation for what they thought was going to be last year resurfacing, but it will be this year.
Outside
so
companies
sometime
come in
this year?
Outside companies come in and do it.
All weather driven.
I think Warren has the upper roads on Mountaintop or Mount Lebanon and Turkey Top prepping them, and yours is already prepped, and I think that it's the plan to come in and knock off those up top and then get down to Littlebrook or Littlebrook first. I'm not sure. Brian probably knows a little better.
Probably want Littlebrook to dry out a little bit before they pave it. That's very wet there.
That's always.
Wet section. That's why you don't
outside contracting companies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Warren doesn't let them come in when it's getting too cold because
it's too
well.
Right.
Sorry. Just a question about Littlebrook. Do we have any information on that
eyesore
nastiness that's going on over there?
As far as the public church? Nothing right now. We're starting to begin a little discussion. small discussion, but it's starting to happen.
There's a potential that people maybe may have been going in and out of there and stuff. I didn't know if it was people that were supposed to be in and out of there or people like neighborhood kids and things like that. So I just want to be careful. I know it's not your property, so you really can't do anything but enforce
well,
it.
Well, you can ask the police to ride by a little more often.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more public comment? Oh, here he comes.
You know, people come before this board and all they do is complain about how fast people drive on our roads. That sounds like I'm good going right now. Then the next thing we do, we come before this board and say, why aren't our roads paved? You know, the best solution in this town, where you want to bring it, you want to keep it rural and stop people from invading. Don't fix the roads. And the people that live here, maybe they should learn there's a speed limit. And our cops should issue a ticket to the locals.
Ooh, ooh.
Whoa! You're a newcomer. You didn't even know we had a library.
My wife does.
Nah, you know, never mind. I wrote a couple fun things down. I showed my wife. Well, I'm going to ask anyway. Only because Paul here brought it up. Why are we interested in that swimming pool on Little Brook Road? What preference does it have for this township?
What?
Why are we
swimming pool?
That house on the right.
I took it literally. I thought there was something going on with a real.
What does it have to do with this township? Your committee. What liability does it have?
There are people going in and out of it.
So you get them for trespassing.
It's an unsafe road.
That's not their responsibility. Not yet. I don't want to pay tax money to have that particular lot taken over. There's no reason for it. I don't see any benefit for it.
What happened if it was next to it?
Mayor. Okay. Go this way. Look this
I know,
way.
But
I'm getting the evil eye.
We won't put your name on the paper. The next thing is, I hear this rumor that maybe we might be looking at maybe building a new municipal building. Anything to that?
What?
Over my dead body.
What did you say? Donating?
No. Municipal building. Expanding what we have here.
Oh.
A little bit, small.
Brian, I haven't heard that.
Brian was proposing that a couple of years ago, and then when you ran against me, you said I was proposing. I had nothing to ever do with it.
As I said, I just wanted to know what you were doing.
We might need an elevator.
you can't have it both ways. And I'm talking as far as the community goes. You can't improve the roads, expect people to go slower. When I see the road committee, road division on my street, I chastise them for fixing it. And I ask why they don't dig a hole. Because some of these idiots, maybe they lost their car in one of those holes, wouldn't have to worry about this speeding and reckless driving anymore. That's all I have to say. I mean, you know, you can think I'm a jerk. That's okay. That's fine. But I just brought a little humor to the meeting tonight.
Thank you, Victor.
I like to jump the hole.
Yeah, you need a little laughter.
I like to jump the hole.
Any other public comment before we make a motion to close?
Make a motion to close public comment?
Going once, going twice. Okay. Make a motion?
I did.
Okay. Roll call.
Yes.
Right. With that, and you have to be calm right now because they can't hear what's going on this tape. So just before you guys all get up. With that, we're going into, do I have a motion for Resolution 61-2023 to go into executive session to talk about PBA negotiations and some personnel issues?
So moved.
Is any
second.
I don't expect that unless you have something with. Do you have with? No. Well, I just. No. Are you going to do something with PBA? That's the. I want
to
know.
I had nothing to say.
Okay.
On PBA. I didn't ask to put it on. I've literally nothing to say.
Put
on PBA.
It on. Oh well. Okay. So no action is. No action is anticipated.
We could delete PBA. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no.
Did you have something
PBA.
On it?
No one put
no.
it on.
I don't know where that came from.
Okay, we have a motion, and I second it.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe I did it subconsciously. Yeah.
Did you call for roll call?
Roll call, no, we haven't had roll call
Oh, yeah,
yet.
Roll call. Yes. Hold on. Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, yes, yes. Okay.
I said yes twice.
Yes.
I said yes twice on that.
Oh. Yeah. It's not 50,000. It's like that's how much they encumbered the funds for, certified the funds for. I can actually give you the resolution. I don't know. I didn't have time to load. We're having some problems, not on our end. It's more about
the town gutter.
You want both of them? You need both of the ones that are encumbered?
I don't know where that water's coming from.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, there's not many of us over here.
It's running down, but it's collecting stuff as it gets into everybody's well.
Really? From where?
I don't like it.